much about.
Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice, the world's only 12-hour strong man on the air.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey guys, it's Gene Biondi. I got your message. Just wanted to say thanks and please give Tommy all my love, okay? Kisses. Bye-bye.
What are you with Vegas? Aside from hockey.
Peter, you're out.
I'm off the show?
No, your penis is out. Urine.
I'm in?
No, urine is running down your leg.
Well, I, for one, can't wait to meet the new boss. Maybe he can finally get this place back on track. I return to hard news. Me, talking like this. And sometimes, like this.
And now.
This is an island surrounded by water. Big water. Ocean water.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show.
This time for a Tuesday. Ocho de Mayo. Ladies?
I don't think that's a thing.
It's not Ocho de Mayo?
Not so much.
I like to extend the celebration. You guys know that. That's what I'm all about, is making the party last. Is anyone less about me making the party last than me?
No.
Yeah, you're Mr. Party.
Allie, I'm delighted to see that you are alive and not cut up into little pieces. I was very concerned about your tweet last night.
Thank you. Yeah, it was touch and go there. But
you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm alive. But
I like that when faced with certain death, and Allie will explain why she knew she had minutes to live. Mm-hmm. I like that you had the state of mind and the composure and the discipline to not just panic and not just jump out the nearby window, but to actually take the time to sit down and craft a farewell to your friends and family.
Listen, if I'm going, how are they going to know? I don't have time to write a letter, but I had my phone right next to me, so why not? Yeah, at 9:40 p.m., when your doorbell rings, you're going to be murdered.
I don't think there's any other explanation
for
somebody ringing your doorbell that late.
No.
They're coming for you.
Yeah, my butthole puckered. I was terrified. Of course, I didn't get it. People were like, did you answer the door? No. What? What is wrong with you?
Do you know nothing about Allie?
Yeah. It was very concerning. However, I lived. Plot twist.
Right. Yes. Yes. Great.
And I woke up to probably the greatest tweet you could receive, knowing one day that you probably will be murdered. Mm-hmm. When you wake up from a tweet from Josh Mankiewicz from Dateline.
Mm-hmm.
That says, I'll do a very sensitive story, but also rye. I thought, you know what? That means the world to me, knowing that he will be the one on Dateline to cover my murder. And I expect you, Bean, to be the one that says she really lit up a room. But then, like, kind of roll your eyes because everyone says that.
Right. So. Now, do you have some sort of a deal in place to make sure that only the most unflattering photos aren't used, as is so often the case when somebody passes suddenly? Like, I think everybody should have a file, like, right there in a folder by the front door. These are the photos to use if I go missing or am found dead, because it seems like so often they're terrible, grainy pictures of you at your fattest. That's what they end up putting on the news.
Bean, you are, again, one step ahead of everyone. That is something I need to do.
You
said the other day that I need a house just for my Postmates delivery.
Right.
Couldn't be more right.
Yeah.
Now this, I mean.
Your life is circling the drain at this point. You got to get your affairs in order, girlfriend.
True. I mean, who's ringing my doorbell at 9:40?
The only thing I can think is mistaken door.
Doorbell identity.
No, I was thinking. I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
They thought they recognized the door.
Yes, wrong address. That's better, yes. So, I mean, look, that's best case scenario.
Yeah,
it's just they didn't mean to ring your doorbell.
Right.
But they accidentally were in the wrong spot. So I'm just happy to see you.
Oh, thank you. I do appreciate the callback from Kevin and Bean listeners. Did you leave a bad Grubhub review? Nice. Well done.
Hey, that's one of the first things I thought, too, is because that woman knew well enough to not answer the phone, too, you know, or when he called or the doorbell when he rang, because there's nobody's coming to your house at 10 o'clock at night.
No.
For any good reason, that's for sure.
I mean, yeah, there's good reason, but I'd know.
Right. You had not put the signal out there for the obvious booty call. Right. All right, let's take a look at this. I fell in love with this story last week, and for whatever reason, we got busy and we didn't get a chance to do it. I want to talk about my friend, Oregon truck driver Jacob Cartwright, who got lost in the woods last Tuesday. He was driving from Portland to a little town in Oregon called Nyasa. I'm not sure. It's near the Idaho border, so it's quite a distance away from Portland where he started off. He was delivering a shipment of potato chips, so he's doing very important work. Mm-hmm. And he got lost. He's 22 years old, and the GPS system sent him up the wrong road and into a remote and mountainous location, according to the Oregon State Police. I guess this makes sense. You're making a delivery. You're not 100% where, you know, which way you're going. It's nighttime. You trust your GPS if you're a truck driver. I mean, this is probably how he works every day, right? So he entered the wrong address, but he had never been in that town before, so he couldn't tell whether he was going the right way or not. He continued following it, not knowing it was the wrong way. It was the middle of the night at that point, and he had missed three opportunities to turn his big rig around. When he did finally decide to stop and turn around, figuring this can't be right, I'm just going into the woods forever, the 18-wheeler began sliding toward a steep embankment and got stuck in a snowy and muddy road.
Oh, no.
We're talking about fears of you being murdered in your own apartment. How about this guy out in the middle of the freaking Oregon wilderness with no cell phone signal and so far away from any place he would ever recognize? So he did the only thing he could think to do, which was to start. He couldn't move his truck, couldn't drive, no cell phone signal. He said, I guess I'm just going to have to walk back along the road that I drove in on. So he starts walking through the forest, hoping somebody else will come along that he can flag down, or he'll encounter somebody that can help him free up a truck, or he'll find a house or something. He walked for 13 hours.
Oh, jeez.
The first day. And then he said he just couldn't walk anymore, so he had to sleep. He wedged himself under a log and next to the ground to try to stay warm and out of the elements. Now, fortunately, it wasn't snowy last week in that part of Oregon, so it could have been much, much worse. He got up the next day and walked another 13 hours. He's still lost in the woods. He gets up a third day and walks another 13 hours.
Is he a slow walker? How far is he walking?
Well, he had driven for quite a distance with the GPS. And now he finds himself out in the middle of nowhere, probably disoriented. He says he was walking on the same road he drove out on. But that's a great point. 36 hours of walking. I mean, how long was he on that road in the truck?
Yeah.
He did eventually find his way out of the woods, made his way to Interstate 84, where he flagged down a driver who gave him a ride to his home in La Grande, Oregon, about 9 miles away. They called the hospital. He was taken for evacuation. By this time, by the way, the company that he worked for assumed that he was, well, they knew he was missing. They feared the worst. Everybody was looking for him. They posted to their Facebook page, Jacob has finally been found alive. He was so dehydrated that his kidneys stopped functioning. Mm. He had possible frostbite on his right foot. And by the way, hadn't had anything to eat for 3 days, which couldn't have made it very easy for him to be on this journey.
He didn't grab any chips before he left?
Exactly.
Come on with this guy. I'm not hiring him to drive my chips.
That stuff is worth something. That's the load. I'm not going to touch it, he said in a hospital interview. That's the way I was raised. That stuff is not yours. You don't touch it. I think there's some sort of an exception to be made if you're out in the woods in the middle of nowhere. But I guess when he left the truck, he probably thought, I'll be somewhere in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I don't need to worry about food. I'm fine.
And think about how much more dehydrated he would have been.
Eating potato chips.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I mean, I look at a story like this, and I think it's one of the reasons it attracted me to talk about this and to get this out loud, because I believe I am the guy who gives up at the first whiff of danger.
Yeah.
If I'm 127 hours guy, I don't cut off my own arm. I just die there stuck in the rocks.
Yeah.
I don't think I have what it takes to survive a situation like this.
Yeah, you know, I would have probably just sat in the cabin eating all the chips. Just, that was it. Good night.
These people that you know, they're in an earthquake and the apartment collapses around them, and they stay alive drinking their own sweat for 6 days. I'm not that guy. I just I'm a guy who dies in the first hour if anything goes wrong. If my gas tank gets below a quarter tank, I'm likely to not make it. There you go. So anyway, congratulations to Jacob Cartwright. That is a remarkable story, I think. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Beach show, shall we?
Oh, yes! Oh, I love it!
That's a very enthusiastic listener. I appreciate that. We didn't get to it yesterday, but Allie, you took the big step over the weekend of finally catching up on the best movie of 1972. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I mean, you've been very busy, and I do understand you can't watch everything all the time.
I appreciate you realizing that.
And Allie has been nagged for years by friends, family, and strangers that she had to see The Godfather, and she finally did, so we'll discuss. Deadpool 2, you guys, comes out on the 18th. We've got tickets to a K-Rock screening on Thursday. We'll give you a chance to win those in the 6 o'clock hour, one of the most anticipated films of 2018. It's prom season. Going to talk about prom disasters today. I was so surprised yesterday when we had this conversation off the air how many people just on the Kevin and Bean show have less than great prom memories from that night.
That shouldn't shock you.
There's a lot of things that can go wrong, I guess.
Yeah.
Weenie Roast tickets. The show is this Saturday. You can still buy tickets. There are a few left at AXS.com. You can win them in the front row and the Bud Light backstage party area. This morning on the Kevin and Bean show, I'm going to give you a heads up right now. We're doing Yo Weenie Raps. So we're looking for you to wrap your way into the Weenie Roast. That's going to be right around 8 o'clock this morning if you want to start preparing for that. And Beer Mug is taking the Kevin and Bean Janky van down to Orange County today. So we'll give you some details on where you can go and meet Mugs in person and win your tickets as well. It is Book Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to our friend Brad Meltzer, who's got yet another book out. And he's already announced the next one, too, by the way.
Insane.
Does this guy ever stop?
Mm-mm.
And our friend Adam Carolla on the program as well. All that straight ahead. Plus, Allie's got what's happening next on K-Rock. L.A. and O.C.'s Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, Tuesday, 5:54. Allie, what's happening?
That whole Met Ball thing?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either at all. My friend Jill, I tweeted about it yesterday. She came up with the Pet Ball, and it's just all dogs dressed up, and it's the same thing, but just dogs. And I'd watch that.
The only thing that would make that better is if the dogs weren't dressed up.
But they'd have to be for this, if it was the pet ball. I know you are against dogs being dressed up, but one time a year for this special event when they all get together and go to a ball.
I don't get the look. I don't get fashion in general, but the outfits are crazy. Don't show up looking like an Egyptian princess anywhere.
They're supposed to be all according to whatever the theme was, and the theme last night was heavenly bodies and Catholicism or something like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people dressed as like a bedazzled pope and whatnot. It was just what. My whole timeline was people just tweeting about the outfits, and I thought, I need to follow better people.
What about Tom Brady's Michael Jackson outfit? What was that about?
I can't with
What was
him.
He even doing? I know he's kind of in that world because his wife is a model and stuff, so maybe he has to show up, but it was not a great look for Tommy.
It wasn't a great look, and I don't know why he decided to do whatever he did to his hair. He looked like Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber. it was not good. A lot of people tweeting me pictures of Tom. I'm like, listen, I'm the first one to tell you, Tom has become quite the twit. If you change the I to an A.
Understood, yes.
Thank you. Yes. But I bring this up because last night was the coming out party for a new couple. Did you hear about this yesterday?
Is this Elon Musk?
Elon Musk and musician Grimes. It's an odd pairing. And apparently their meet cute had to do with being online about a month ago. And Elon Musk was going to tweet a joke, but discovered that Grimes had made the joke years earlier, it was about dealing with complications of artificial intelligence. Found out she had tweeted it, so then that kind of started them talking, and he realized she's super smart. Mm-hmm. And they've been together, I guess, about a month, and they went out at the Met Ball.
They both seem like a good catch.
Yeah, for sure. But I was shocked when I looked up his age. How old do you think Elon Musk is?
I feel like she's very young, isn't she? Like, I think 20 or something?
No, I think she's maybe 30.
Oh, is she? Okay. Gosh, I don't know. Elon Musk has one of those faces that it's hard to tell. He could be 30, he could be 48. I just don't know.
Okay, see, you're at least in a ballpark. I thought maybe he had, this is awful, I thought maybe he had a ton of work done because his face looks very smooth.
Okay.
And he's so smart and so accomplished. Obviously, he's 60, right?
Okay, all right.
Nope. He is 46.
Oh.
And she's 30. Right.
Okay.
So, fine. Whatever.
That's about right for an age difference for a rich guy.
Rich. Gazillionaire.
Yeah, right.
By the way, Grimes was a double major in psychology and philosophy with minors in Russian and electroacoustics.
Okay.
Before she dropped out of school to follow her music career. So they are talking about crap none of us would understand.
Yeah, they're having dinner on Mars this weekend, I bet.
I just liked following along online yesterday and seeing all the guys that were so mad, like they ever had a chance with Grimes.
Right.
Oh, delightful.
Come on, what do you see in Elon Musk that I don't have? What's that guy got?
And plot twist, somebody found out that her mom drives a Tesla.
Oh, look at that.
Right?
They're
not bad.
Perfect for each other.
I've said it for years. I just found out yesterday with everyone. And everyone can stop tagging me in Adele's posts from over the weekend. I saw them. They are awesome. And I appreciate her because you know me. I love a good theme party.
Mm-hmm.
And Adele celebrated her 30th birthday with a Titanic-themed party in Beverly Hills. She dressed as Kate Winslet's character, Rose. And she called it the best night of her life. And thanked everyone for entertaining her super fandom. And I thought, well, that's it. We will never be friends because I have not seen Titanic. And it is her favorite. I feel like it's over between Adele and I.
So you've seen The Godfather now.
Yes.
Still not Titanic.
Why?
I mean, it was the biggest movie of all time for 20 years.
Yeah. Avatar was pretty big, too.
Right.
No need.
Yeah. Hey, have you heard any of the pushback, any of the controversy about Adele's Titanic party?
Was it that they left with souvenirs that were life vests?
That was part of it. Is that there are some who said, look, I know Titanic is my word's not theirs, but mm-hmm. Titanic is a pop culture event now, and people love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tragedy where 1,500 people drowned. Is it the type of thing that you reenact for a birthday party? Is it in poor taste to the victims' families, I guess, is what was being asked.
I mean, I dress as Princess Leia, and Alderaan was blown up, so...
Well...
Right?
We all have our struggles.
Thank you. By the way, I don't need anyone tweeting me that Alderaan is not a real place. Well aware. Some birthdays for you. Actor Stephen Amell and singer Enrique Iglesias. And that's what's happening.
Tickets to an advanced screening of Deadpool 2. You can win this hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Stand by, we'll tell you how. And more tickets in the pit and the Bud Light VIP party for this weekend's 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast, which is going to be Saturday at StubHub Center. By the way, never forget.
I want to see some naked dudes. It's why I built this pool.
Never forget that young man who graced us with that song yesterday. Hit it, Steve.
Millionaires in the news.
Thank you, Rich Omar. I saw a couple of stories yesterday that just delighted me about rich people, new rich people, two of them anyway. A Canadian man had the best day ever. His name is Ping Kun Chern. He woke up one day last week feeling like the luckiest man in the world. Put yourself in his shoes here, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
It was his birthday.
Doesn't say how old, but it was also his last day as a working man. It was his retirement day. So let's assume he's around 60, 65, sure. maybe, something like that. So that's a happy day.
Yeah.
Now, ordinarily, when I bring up, when I set up a story like this, it means he's about to get hit by a truck. But I'm telling you, this is nothing but great news for Mr. Shum. It's his birthday. One more day of work, which is not really work. I'm sure it's just cake and congratulations. And then you're done. You're retiring. You're on with your new life. On his way to his final day at the job, he stopped at a convenience store in Richmond, British Columbia, and decided to purchase a lottery ticket.
Come on.
That he matched all six numbers on and won $1.5 million U.S. dollars.
Wow.
The British Columbia Lottery Corporation has confirmed the win. It's unbelievable that all three events happened on the same day, said Mr. Shum in a statement that the lottery released. I have worked so hard for so many years. I am looking forward to sharing this fortune with my family. The lottery did not disclose what he did for a living. He treated his family and friends to dim sum. Now he's planning a trip to China. And let me tell you about this, by the way. Not only was it his last day of work anyway, not only was it his birthday, not only did he win 2 million Canadian dollars, but in Canada, if you win the lottery, you do not have to pay tax on the winnings.
Shut up.
So it's a straight up $2 million.
Why
it's
are not they like, better than us at everything?
Because in America, I always do the math in my head when I see these crazy jackpots and I go, oh, I should buy a ticket. It's $400 million. But then I go, yeah, but it's really like $180 million. Do I want to bother? Yes.
Oh, my God. You're the worst.
So is that the best day anyone's ever had?
Good for him.
Good for him. All right. Story number two. Again, this feature is called what now?
Millionaires in the News.
I don't know if you had any interest in watching the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. I did not when I heard how rainy the course was going to be. Mm-hmm. It was too nerve-wracking for me to think that there was a potential that one of those horses was going to slip and fall and get hurt. So I stayed away from it. I was terrified all day long. We've seen horses put down after that race before, and I just didn't want to see that happen. But fortunately, everybody was fine. Justify is the horse that ended up winning and won $1.24 million. Well, guess who won almost that same amount on the Kentucky Derby day? Margaret Reed from Austin, Texas. She went to a racetrack near her home in Selma, Texas, and she correctly predicted the winners of five of the races at Churchill Downs. Races 8 through 12, they do 12 races on Kentucky Derby Day, and the final one is the Kentucky Derby race that we all know and love. So she picked winners on the last five races. An $18 ticket won her $1.2 million.
Oh.
Who goes to the local racetrack, puts down less than 20 bucks, and wins over $1 million?
I didn't know that was possible.
Apparently, it is very tough to pick five races in a row, and a couple of them that she picked were long shots. She said that she has been betting on horse racing for a long time. She's really into it. She says she does her research on it. She's not somebody who just picks a horse based on the name or guesses. She says she, you know, tries to make intelligent guesses on what she thinks will happen. But this is extremely rare, according to a racetrack spokesperson there in Selma, Texas, to bet that little amount of money and win $1.2 million is unheard of. It's the first time anything like that has ever happened here at this racetrack. It's just you never think about that kind of money. I mean, when I think about a huge day, and this shows you how little I know about racetracks, but when I think about a huge day betting on a horse, I think $5,000.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know you'd walk away with something like this. So it's just so funny that this lady in Austin, Texas, won as much on the Kentucky Derby as the person who won the Kentucky Derby with the horse Justified. This has been
Millionaires in the News.
You're about 5 minutes away from a chance to win tickets to the K-Rock advance screening of Deadpool 2 coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the world-famous K-Rock. Look, look, look. Everybody has a classic movie that they haven't seen. Maybe yours is The Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. Mine is, for instance, there are a lot of movies I haven't seen, but I've never seen any of the Jurassic Park movies, for instance. There's somebody out there listening right now who's never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark or Jaws or Star Wars. You can't see them all. I know. That's offensive to you to your core.
It is.
film critics consider Citizen Kane to be the greatest movie of all time. And I'd be willing to bet that the majority of people who listen to this show have never taken the time to go back and see Citizen Kane from 80 years ago, right? You can't see them all.
No.
But you should see The Godfather. What I'm saying is I get it, but you should see The Godfather if you live your entire life, Allie, to the age that you're at now, and everybody has told you, wow, is that a great movie?
Yeah, I've been told that for decades. Mm-hmm. And it also, I like those kind of movies. I like Goodfellas. I like The Departed, which isn't really gangster, but a little bit. Peaky Blinders. Love a good gangster movie.
And so many of the things that are in those movies are as a result of the Godfather book by Mario Puzo and the Francis Ford Coppola film. I mean, that's where a lot of those tropes came from.
Right.
Was from, that's the OG mafia movie.
Mm-hmm.
So how did it happen this past weekend in 2018 that you finally got around to seeing the best picture of 1972?
I had taken a nap and I woke up and I thought, you slept too long. You are going to be up for a while. Netflix has The Godfather. You've got 3 hours. Have a Diet Mountain Dew and go to town. So I did.
What were your... And Kevin always says, remember the Kevin times, he always says that he believes that your expectations going into a film can sometimes color how much you enjoy it. If you're not expecting much, maybe it'll end up being surprisingly great. If you have been hyped to the max, there's no way it lives up to the pressure. Where were you when you started the film?
I don't think I had huge expectations because everyone had told me, oh, you have to see The Godfather, but the second one is better. So I had that in my head the whole time that you have to see this one just to kind of get the feel for it. Mm-hmm. So you know that number two is coming and it's better. But wow, that movie was long.
I mean, it's got to be around 3 hours.
Yeah,
it is. But it also has a lot going on with a lot of different stories and some of the greatest acting and dialogue you've ever seen in your life.
That's what they say. Yeah.
Allie.
Listen, it was perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
Oh, no,
that's not how you describe the.
Have you ever seen Al Pacino better?
Here's the thing that I'm embarrassed about. Let me get to that thing in a minute.
Okay.
But first, let me just play for you. If you haven't seen it, probably one of the best known deals is that whole offer thing that Marlon Brando does.
Right.
You rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's going to give you what you want.
It's too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Okay.
All right, so that's this reoccurring theme. We get it. I was confused at first. Why are they calling him Vito? Now he's Don? Like, what's his name? And then it occurred to me, oh, he's the Don. Okay,
he's the Don.
It.
He's the head of the
got
mafia
it.
Family, right.
But why the voice? Why? I know people think it's the greatest, like, that Brando chose that voice. It drove me nuts.
Did it drive you nuts because... It's been parodied so often and made fun of and duplicated and imitated that it's hard to go back and see it with fresh eyes because that's a caricature now after all these years that you've seen other people do it. But I mean, at the time, he was the first and only person who had done it, and that's just how he chose that character to talk. And by the way, Marlon Brando was phenomenal in this movie.
Yeah, he was
good. He's like 35 years old. It's amazing what they made him look like with the prosthetics and whatnot at the time. And just how nervous were you when he was petting the cat? And not a euphemism, kids. How nervous were you that something bad was going to happen to that cat?
Pretty nervous.
And okay. By the way, I mentioned Pacino.
Uh-huh.
Incredible, right?
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
So I'm watching the movie, and I'm thinking to myself, Al Pacino's in this at some point. I'm almost halfway through the movie, and I'm like, where the heck does he come in? Like, is he from another crime family? I use the bathroom. I take a potty break, and I Google the cast, and I'm like, holy crap, he's Michael?
He's Michael Corleone.
I had no idea.
You didn't recognize Al Pacino?
Because he doesn't sound like Al Pacino. He doesn't use that stupid inflection that he does now. He's so young. He looked like just a little brunette kid.
And so handsome, too, by the way.
So handsome. We've got this.
You don't come to Las Vegas and talk to a man like Mo Green like that.
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
I mean, I got hot during that.
It's funny you said that because I get chills when I hear that because he's got that quiet power
yes.
of a guy who knows how to handle it. And by the way, I hope you will see Godfather 2 because when you see what happens with Fredo, it'll kill you.
Fredo's a big old puss. I hope he dies.
What about James Caan? What about Robert Duvall? What about the great Abe Vigoda? What about John Casale? The list goes on and on and on. Diane Keaton, Talia Shire. I mean, there's nothing but great performances in this movie.
All amazing. And I have to say, as a little kid, I had a t-shirt that had a joke on it that I never knew what it was from until I watched this movie. You guys, I am mortified. But it's the line when Clemenza and Rocco kill Polly and they're leaving the car.
Yes!
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I have leave the gun, take the cannoli on a t-shirt that I'd wear as like a little 10-year-old. Zero idea. Why was I wearing that t-shirt?
I don't know. That's we got to talk to your parents about that one. Waking up with a horse's head? Spoiler alert. Sorry. Come on.
Here's the thing.
There's so many iconic scenes in this film.
How do you sleep through that? Like, there was so much blood in that bed. You didn't at any point wake up and think, ooh, why is my bed wet?
You're missing the point.
Okay.
The point is that this is how they deal with people in their universe.
Okay.
All right. We're almost out of time here. Mm-hmm. I'm delighted that you saw it.
Yes.
What's your takeaway? I don't know how you want to close this up with a letter grade or just thoughts. Now that you've seen it, how do you feel?
My whole thought was, had I seen it decades ago, I probably would have thought it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe people's nostalgia kind of gets in the way. Like, people go back and they're like, no, it's one of the best movies ever. Well, I think if I saw it back then, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it now, it was good. And knowing that Al Pacino is the biggest part of number two,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd be willing to watch the second one.
Ladies and gentlemen, Allie is on board with The Godfather.
Thank you.
Deadpool Bean?
Deadpool Bean, yes. That's what they call me. That is what they called me. That was my mistake, guys. I'll take that one. That one was on me. Pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Deadpool 2, you guys. AMC Century City this Thursday. It's in theaters everywhere on May 18th. One of the most anticipated films of 2018. The great Ryan Reynolds is back as Deadpool Josh Brolin. Oh, my God, it looks so good. Got a game you can play if you want to call us right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll do it next on K-Rock. Hey, party people, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. Got more tickets for you to join us at the Weenie Roast this Saturday at StubHub Center. Not only here on the phone, give you a chance to win them that way, but Beer Mug is going to be out in Orange County at the Outlets. We'll check in with him when he gets down there and give you some details on all the good stuff he's got to give away. Y'all ready to give away some Deadpool 2 tickets?
Yeah.
In theaters on the 18th. We've got a screening this Thursday night at the AMC Century City Theater with a game that we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to see the Deadpool movie part 2. Oh, yeah! Total Recall, Deadpool 2 tickets. That's what you will win.
I would be a terrible contestant at most of the games that we ask you to play here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but none more so than this one, because I'm going to be giving you a pretty broad category and asking you to name five items in that category in 10 seconds. Good news, Allie, this time around is no drawing. You get through that, you win tickets to see the movie way before your friends do.
Excellent.
All right, so let's meet our first contestant. Who's up? We got Manny, Simi Valley. Manny, what's going on, man?
Not much, party people.
Do you love Deadpool like we love Deadpool?
I do.
All right. Well, good luck. Not only is actor Ryan Reynolds, the star of the Deadpool movie franchise, a real-life Canadian, but the character Deadpool himself is also Canadian.
Here's an easy one for you, Manny. Name any other five celebrities from the Great White North. We're looking for five famous Canadians. You have 10 seconds. Good luck, sir.
Natalie Portman. Ryan Gosling. Hugh Jackman.
Oh, I'm so sorry. By the way, is Natalie Portman really Canadian?
She's from Israel.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I gave it to you because I wasn't sure on the fly. I could have had Martin Short or William Shatner or Drake. I mean, there's a lot of them out there. But thank you for playing anyway. We appreciate it. Let's try. Is this Raul? Raul Whittier. Hey, Raul. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Doing all right?
Doing great. How do you think you're going to do coming up with five things in 10 seconds?
Well, the Canadian one I couldn't get. So let's see if the next category would be much better.
All right. In the comic book and in the film, Deadpool is shown as a huge fan of the Golden Girls TV show. In fact, he's even wearing a T-shirt with star B. Arthur's face on it. In 10 seconds, name me any other five TV shows that began in the 1980s. That's all you got to do. Five TV shows that began in the 80s. What else was on the air back when Golden Girls was such a big hit? Good luck to you. Go.
Okay. The Cosby Show. Knight Rider.
Boy, that 10 seconds goes by fast, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
Yes, it does.
What's the first one you thought of, Allie?
I actually thought of Silver Spoons.
Cheers, The Wonder Years. I mean, there's a lot. The A-Team,
yeah.
Roseanne.
I do like that as soon as you said Golden Girls, Raul went, oh!
Raul, thank you for listening, sir. We really appreciate it. Let's try Damian Colton up next. Damian, good morning, sir. You ready to play?
Hey, yes, sir. Hey, Ben. Hey, Howard.
Hey.
I know it's a tough game, but we're all pulling for you. One of the Easter eggs in the Deadpool film is a stuffed animal at a carnival where Wade and Vanessa are playing skee-ball. The dog is dressed in a Deadpool outfit, referring to Dogpool, a canine version of Deadpool from an alternate universe. So your question is going to be, can you name any five dog breeds in 10 seconds? That's all you have to do. Five dog breeds in 10 seconds. Good luck.
Yorkie, Corgi, German Shepherd, Cocker Spaniel, Pitbull, English Bulldog.
Ladies and gentlemen, he did it. He did it and kept going. Congratulations. Yeah. You're going to see Deadpool 2. Way to go, my friend. Okay, let's try, I was expecting a goodbye. Let's try Freddie Long Beach up next. Hey, Fred.
Let's do this. What's up?
You've been on hold listening to your fellow contestants. How have you been doing playing along?
Horrible. Wow. But dog breeds, please do that one.
Do it. Just do it again. Yeah. All right. Here's your question for Deadpool 2 tickets. Angel Dust is one of the Morlocks in the Deadpool universe and has superhuman strength, much like the actress who played her in the film, former MMA fighter Gina Carano, who's so good, by the way. All you have to do is name me any other five mixed martial artists, any five MMA stars in 10 seconds. They can be past or present. Good luck.
Chuck Liddell, Ronda Rousey, Chuck Liddell, Yoel Romero, Kevin.
Demetrius Johnson, Chris Cyborg, John Jones, Daniel Cormier. There's a lot of them out there, but I know the pressure was on. All right, I think we have time for another. Let's try Art in Ontario. Hey, Art. Where are my ladies at, by the way? Why do we have all dudes calling for Deadpool? I thought the women loved Deadpool.
No idea.
Okay. Ryan Reynolds was the first actor to be nominated for a Golden Globe for his appearance in a Marvel movie. So this one is going to be wide open for you. I want you to name me any other awards that can be won. Five awards that can be won in any field in 10 seconds. Good luck.
Grammys, Academy Awards, Oscars, MTV Movie Awards, MTV Music Awards, BET Awards.
Okay, I think we'll accept BET Award. That's a thing. Yeah, Nobel Prizes, Pulitzer Prizes. You mentioned Miss USA, Miss Universe, Olympic Gold Medal, Purple Heart. There's a lot of them. Congratulations. You're going to see Deadpool 2.
Sweet.
All right. Let's try one more, you guys. And let's make it Chris Cudahy. Chris.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Good morning to you, sir. Final contestant for Deadpool 2 tickets. You ready to play?
It's better than ever, I guess.
All right. In the first film, Deadpool makes fun of the Negasonic Teenage Warhead's nearly shaved head by calling her Sinead, of course referencing singer Sinead O'Connor and her famous bald head. I'm going to ask you to name... What was that? Was that a burp?
Actually, truck driving, so...
Okay. I'm going to ask you to name me five other bald or nearly bald celebrities. We're looking for the hair challenged here. Five of them in 10 seconds. Good luck.
The Rock. That's pretty much it.
How about The Rock, though? Larry David, Bruce Willis, Magic Johnson, Terry Bradshaw, Rose McGowan even. There's a bunch of them. I'm sorry you didn't win, but we appreciate you listening.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, you guys, Deadpool 2 got them for you again tomorrow right here on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. This has been Total Recall.
Oh, yeah! Total Recall.
And now, a moment with Bean.
The only thing I can think is... Mistaken door.
Doorbell identity?
No, I was thinking, I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
That was A Moment with B.
I mean, yeah, I guess I could have done that.
I like mistaken door.
They're playing the Troub. I hear they're very good. It is 6:55 Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for choosing to spend part of your day with us. We really appreciate it. Allie is here with What's Happening on K-Rock.
I'm starting to think we're the only ones without a residency in Las Vegas.
Yeah, they are popping up, for sure.
Yeah, Britney Spears, Celine Dion, Garth Brooks, J-Lo, Boyz II Men, Blink-182, Gwen Stefani, all currently or have had a residency in Vegas. And now you can add Queen. Oh, sorry.
Try it again.
Queen.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. So you do it now, and then
right,
okay.
Right, right. And now you can add Queen.
Yay!
And Adam Lambert. They're set to rock you in Vegas this fall.
I kind of wanted to see that show. Yeah. Never did. Mm-hmm. Not that I'll see it in Vegas either, but that's a good option for folks.
Yeah, it's a 10-date limited engagement named The Crown Jewels. The shows will take place at Park Theater at the MGM in Las Vegas starting on September 1st, running through September 22nd. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern at Ticketmaster.com. So, I mean, I'd see that.
I think that'd be very good.
Yeah, surviving members of Queen plus Adam Lambert, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been playing, you know, shows all over the world the last couple of years, and apparently they're killing. I mean, you need the biggest voice in the world to be able to beat Freddie Mercury.
Right.
And Adam Lambert's got it.
For sure. Is it weird that I said the surviving members?
I know,
just
it
in
is,
case you were wondering.
Yeah. Because it is everyone but Freddie.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. I don't know about you, but there are definitely shows that I'm very concerned about that I need to make sure are coming back next season.
Yes, we're at that point right now where your favorite show is going to be renewed or not, and there are a lot of good shows that people like that are on the bubble, as they say.
Yes, and The Hollywood Reporter has been updating renewals and cancellations on Twitter. I am refreshing the heck out of that for one show in particular. I enjoy it. I very much love it, and I hope it's back.
Okay.
It has now been renewed for a second season on NBC. I'm talking about the show Good Girls. Have you watched it, Bean?
Is this the one with Retta and...
Retta, Mae Whitman, and Christina Hendricks. And
I watched the first one.
It is awesome.
Okay.
It's funny. It's stupid. It tugs at your heartstrings. It's everything you want in a show.
Okay.
And now it's been renewed.
NBC agrees.
Yeah, it's averaging 6.1 million viewers overall. But that show, Barry, which has also been renewed, and a show on BBC America called Killing Eve. Mm-hmm. Those are my top choices for new shows.
Okay.
In case anybody out there was wondering. You're welcome. Yesterday, Amazon announced something we all knew was coming, that Transparent will end its run after its upcoming fifth season. We all saw that coming, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you take away the heart of the show.
The right? Transparent.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
True. Hey, you want to buy the private island where Prince used to just hang and chill out? Okay.
I didn't know he had an island.
I didn't either. But the late singer's private retreat in Turks and Caicos is up for sale. The house and compound is on 5 sandy acres, and it hit the auction block on January 12th. Will hit the auction block on January 12th. Okay. No minimum bid, but you need to submit a $100,000 check just to get in on the action. So we will see how much that will go for.
This is an island surrounded by water, big water, ocean water.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, by
definition.
Familiar
with the concept, yeah.
That's what an island is. And Supergirl, Melissa Benoist. I was not aware that she's quite the singer.
Oh, I don't think I knew that either.
Yeah, she was on Glee, apparently, for a couple seasons. I'm sorry, Melissa, was not aware of that. And the reason I'm aware now, she's going to be stepping into the lead role in Beautiful, the Carole King musical, from June 7th through August 4th. So, I mean, you're Supergirl, and now you're going to be on Broadway. What can't she do?
Yeah, no kidding. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's not bad. I had no idea she was such a good singer, but yeah. I stopped watching Glee after first year. Sorry, I was out. Some birthdays for you guys. Actor Stephen Amell and singer Enrique Iglesias. And that's what's happening.
This Saturday, StubHub Center, it is on, you guys. 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast is happening. Some seats still available at AXS.com. By the way, Allie, give the listeners who may be planning on joining us on Saturday the good news about the weather.
I don't know if everyone's going to see it as good news. A lot of people like a hot day out there. Mm-hmm. You're enjoying a cocktail, seeing mm-hmm. some bands. It's going to be 67 degrees, you guys.
That sounds right? comfortable.
It sounds so good. Low of 58, so a little chilly at night. Bring a sweater.
Well, we've been to plenty of 90-plus degree weenie yes. roasts, so this might be a refreshing change. But the beautiful thing is Blink-182 and Panic at the Disco and Rise Against and Dirty Heads and Mike Shinoda and the Cold War Kids and the War on Drugs and all the rest, Bishop Briggs and Alice Merton and AWOL Nation, they're all going to be there, and you can too. In fact, we have tickets you can win on the radio coming up, and right now, if you're out in Orange County, our man Beer Mug is out with the Kevin and Bean Janky Van giving away tickets to this and other stuff on the street. Let's check in. Hey, Mugs.
Orange County in the house.
This is nice. How was the drive down there today?
It was actually not bad. I mean, the traffic going away from Los Angeles is always better than the traffic going toward Los Angeles. So we got here in record time.
All right. Tell folks where the outlets at Orange are.
The outlets in Orange, exact address is 20 City Boulevard West in Orange. We are cross streets are the City Drive and Outlet Drive. So it's in the Outlets at Orange parking lot or right by the TGI Fridays.
Do people, when they come out to see your van hits all over town, Mugs, do they insist on getting their picture taken with the janky Kevin and Bean van?
They love the Kevin and Bean janky van. They want to drive it around. They want to rent it for the weekend. But I have to, back them off a little bit.
All right. So you have multiple pairs of tickets for the Weenie Roast, including at least one pair in the pit with access to the Bud Light VIP party for someone who's 21 and up. What other concert tickets do you have at that location?
That is correct, Bean. We also have U2 tickets.
What?
Tickets to X-Ambassadors. I probably should have saved U2 for last. But we also have Liam Gallagher tickets as well.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You can't afford not to go down and see Beer Mug.
I know.
If you don't go down, you both lose money. Exactly. What are your food plans while you're down there? Is there anything you've had your eye on next time you get to Orange County?
I'm eating Carl's Jr. as we speak right now.
Okay, there's my boy. There's my boy. All right, so about an hour or so, you'll be there till right around 8 o'clock?
Yeah, so it's about 7:15 right now. So about 8:15, we'll be drawing some winners.
No, or 9 o'clock.
What's that?
Or 9 o'clock, yeah.
Or 9 o'clock,
yeah.
Okay. All right, slave driver Dave.
Yeah, all right, apparently I should have asked Dave.
Yes.
All right, outlets at Orange, head on down and see Beer Mug, say hi, get a picture, win a prize. Thank you, Mugs. We'll talk to you later, okay?
Sounds good.
All righty. It's prom season, you guys.
Yeah.
I have seen several stories lately about proms that did not go the way the participants hoped. And I guess this is just like when we do the Kevin and Bean, Thanksgiving disasters or Memorial Day disasters or wedding day disasters. I think the more invested you are to make sure that it's a great evening, the more likely it is that something's going to go wrong that you're going to forget,
you know, never forget the rest of your life. And I was stunned to find out that some of the people here on the Kevin and Bean Show have their own bad prom stories before we open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067, including you, King. What happened?
Oh, man. It wasn't the prom per se, but it was the prom after party. We were at the Bonaventure Hotel where kids should, you know, not be all mm-hmm. together. And it turns out this guy named David was breaking bottles at windows, throwing them at the windows.
Oh, no.
Champagne bottles, vodka bottles, just throwing them, destruction of property. And the guy who put down the credit card for the room saw me and said, hey, there's a guy named David breaking bottles. It's you. Punches me in the face. I fall down because he's really big and hit the doorknob and pass out. And that was the end of my prom night.
Oh, no.
Wow. Had you stayed awake, you would have passed out anyway, but at least
probably
an hour later and drunk.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There was bottles being broken, so I think that's part of the reason why he punched me in the face. But it wasn't me.
My date and I left prom to go early to eat, this report is. But when we went back, the school was closed. I really had to pee, so my date drove me to the football field to use the outdoor bathroom. Just as I lifted my dress, I discovered a bat, like the animal, in the stall with me. I came out of the bathroom with my dress still hiked up. Standing right outside was a police officer. My date took me home right after. You don't expect to go into an outdoor bathroom and have a bat in there. I was stoked for my junior prom. After months of strategic seduction, the guy I liked told me he'd go to prom with me. My dress was backless, so I wore this weird bra that stuck to my boobs. Halfway through our first slow dance, I had butterflies because I knew this was our moment. He leaned down. I was ready for that kiss. He whispered in my ear, "Dude, your bra is showing really bad." It turns out that the sweaty dancing had rotated my bra by 180 degrees. It was on my back. I ran into the bathroom, I threw it away, and I cried for about 45 minutes. That's Christine from Facebook.
Oh, dear.
Prom disasters is what we're talking about. 1-800-520-1067. You did not anticipate this was going to be the thing you most remembered about your prom years later. Allie, how about you?
I had a lovely prom once we got there, and it took a really long time to get there, and we were also really sweaty. And the reason is my dad decided, oh, you know what? It's a big night. I'm going to rent them a vintage Rolls Royce. Like, everyone's going to have a limo. They're going to get a vintage Rolls Royce.
Whoa.
So this thing pulls up, and it is the coolest thing we have ever seen. And it was awesome until the on-ramp to the freeway when it broke down for the first time.
Oh, no.
It broke down. I can't remember, but it was definitely more than two. And this is back in the day, because I'm 94 years old, where there were no cell phones. So the guy is literally walking on the freeway to a call box.
And we are
sitting there in the San Fernando Valley, sweating bullets, just taking pictures on our little Kodak digital whatever cameras back in the day. It wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. But by the end of it, we had a regular limo waiting outside for us. The guy's like, this is what we had to do. So it was just a boring old, like, 1970s limo, it felt like.
Well, it beat hanging out on the side of the highway all night, right?
Totally true.
But how were the puka shells?
The puka shells look great.
Okay, good.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. 1-800-520-1067. Ryan says, I got my appendix out the morning before the prom, and I was discharged from the hospital the day of the prom, but nothing was going to stop me from going.
Oh, wow.
I danced a little too hard and ended up popping out my stitches, oozing blood all over my dress, she says.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, anytime blood is involved in your prom story, I don't think there's ever a time that that's going to be good, right?
I mean,
yeah. Okay.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah! Oh, kids, don't applaud that. All right. Do we have time? Can we take one before we, if we could put Mike on hold, that'd be super. We could talk to him before we go. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We're looking for your prom disasters. I think the only disaster about my prom was the white tuxedo that I wore.
Ooh.
The all white tuxedo.
Pants or shorts, though?
It was pants back then.
Whoa.
Mike, thank you for calling, my friend. What's going on? Line one.
Hey, what's up, you guys? How you guys doing?
talking about prom disasters. I don't know that we've ever done this topic before, but a lot of things go wrong on prom night. How about for you?
Well, I got hit by a car at my prom night.
besides that, though, was it pretty fun? what?
Yeah. I mean, well, it was like right after prom. There was an after party at one of my friend's house. So we went up, and once I got there, I guess the brother got out of prison that week. So when I got to that, so when I got to the house, I seen the brother. He pulls out a gun. We run back, and there's another car pulling up. They start shooting, so we get behind the car, and we know we're kind of like bunkering down. And the driver hits the car where I'm at, and I get like pinned down.
This story has everything.
This is the worst prom disaster I have ever heard.
Wait. Did anyone get shot?
Yeah, the driver. She got shot in the neck.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But the one of the funny things though, when the ambulance came, I couldn't move because I ended up fracturing my pelvis. So when they were cutting my tuxedo open, I literally told them, "Hey, it's a rental." I didn't want to get charged with it.
Yeah, you don't want to lose the deposit when they're cutting the tuxedo away from your crushed pelvis. Oh my God. All right, Mike, your phone's breaking up, so we're going to have to let you go. But that is an outstanding. That's the prom story to beat right there. Huh?
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. Your call is prom disasters next on K-Rock. The Offspring on deck next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're taking your calls about prom disasters at 1-800-520-1067. Let's squeeze in Rolling Hills' Jolene, shall we? Hey, Jolene. Thank you for calling. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. So I went to prom and I went single. I went back to the hotel room with my two friends. I paid a third of the hotel room, but they made me sleep on the floor. Anyways, we were done partying and we went to sleep. I got rudely awakened with a pair of boxers on my face. Apparently, my friend and her boyfriend were having sex on the bed above me, and I got their warm boxers right on my face. That's how I woke up.
That is no bueno.
No, it was so awful.
What do you do about that? I mean, I guess you just try to get a date for next year, I guess, right?
Yeah, and get those boxes quickly off your face and wash your face as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Jolene, thanks for calling. We'll take some more calls next, right after the Offspring on K-Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, we had a karaoke contest at my senior prom. Everyone convinced me to sing. That was fine because I'm not a horrible singer. But I have really bad stage fright. When I went on the stage and opened my mouth, I projectile vomited everywhere.
Oh,
I got it all over the principal and her husband, too. I don't think I'll be in any more karaoke contests for a while. Yeah, we're talking about prom disasters here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. It's supposed to be one of the biggest, most memorable nights of your life, and sometimes it didn't work out that way. Allie, what are you hearing?
KP on Twitter said, "The thing I remember most about my senior prom is that my boyfriend at the time told me that he didn't like my makeup or my dress. I remember crying on the bus on the way to the venue."
Oh, no.
Oh wow, my God.
Way to ruin his prom.
How dare you?
Well, I'm saying, like, she can't even dress up for him or get a nice dress.
That's not the point, by the way, and I'm sure she did. I'm sure she did the best she could, and she thought she looked good. So you go with that. You go with that.
Dave was her date, apparently.
Apparently so. Let's try Rebecca, Buena Park, 1-800-520-1067, your prom disasters. Rebecca, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What happened?
Hi. At my prom, I was so excited when I got there because I saw, like, this jumper outside and, like, a rock climbing wall. So I don't remember if I ran or if I just, like, walked really fast or what, but I was going to go outside to go see everything, and I didn't notice that there was a glass door right there. So I ran into that, and then I fell down, and people saw me, and I was like, I'm fine. and then my friends were like, "Rebecca, you have like a huge cut on your nose," and I was like, "What the heck?" Like, so we went to the bathroom, and then I had like a huge cut on my nose. So all night, all my friends were asking me, like, "What happened to your face? Like, are you okay?" And the next day, my face was like black and blue, like where my nose was.
So in all of the photos that you took at your prom night then, you've got, what, blood or bandages or what on your face?
I didn't take any more pictures after that happened.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, that's a great story, Rebecca. I'm glad you called. People came up to me at my prom and asked what happened to your face, too, and I didn't hit a wall. And run into anything. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Jeremy, Pasadena, up next, line one on the Kevin Beach Show. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
Morning, party people. Popo's out.
Popo's out.
Well, I went to, asked my date to prom, and it turned out we did a double date thing. It was me, my girlfriend, her best friend, and her date. So okay. We all went to prom, and had a pretty good time, but I had this weird feeling the entire time at the dance, you know, afterward, kind of like a little gathering. We even went on this like boat ride around the bay. This was up north. And after the prom, we get back to the hotel room. I think everything's going to be great. You know, here we go. And I don't know, I just asked her a question. I said, you know, what's going on? Something feels weird. And it turns out sometime before prom, her and our dates had a threesome.
Again, not a tuba for a trombone.
So wait, hold on. So she had already made it with the other couple. You didn't
made
know
it.
About that.
I had no idea.
So that means it was on though. That you were all good. That was the all clear for that night then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, absolutely not.
Jeremy.
It ended up in a huge fight, and needless to say, it was back-to-back sleeping that night.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks for calling on Prob Disasters. Every morning this week, Beer Mug is out in the Kevin and Bean Janky Van all over Southern California. Today, he is in Orange County at the outlets at Orange. We checked in with him a few minutes ago. Man, he's got that van loaded down today, doesn't he?
He does.
Liam Gallagher tickets, ex-ambassadors, U2 at the Forum. He also has a bunch of Weenie Roast tickets, too. You can stop on by. No purchase necessary to enter to win those tickets. K-Rock t-shirts and so much more. Also, we're giving away a pair on the radio in the pit and with access to the Bud Light VIP party in about 15 minutes or so. Heads up, we're going to be looking for you to rap. How does that usually go, Allie, when we do the Yo Weenie Roast?
Real well. People are really good at rapping.
Yeah, it's a super easy thing to pick up. It's very good to sound good rapping. Uh-huh. So we want you to put your rap together and call us in about 15 minutes or so. And then our favorite is going to win tickets in the pit and the VIP Bud Light party for this Saturday at StubHub Center. I hope this kid calls.
I want to see some naked dudes. It's why I built this pool.
Allie, I'm delighted to see that you are alive and not cut up into little pieces. I was very concerned about your tweet last night.
Thank you. Yeah, it was touch and go there. But
you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm alive. But
I like that when faced with certain death, and Allie will explain why she knew she had minutes to live. Mm-hmm. I like that you had the state of mind and the composure and the discipline to not just panic and not just jump out the nearby window, but to actually take the time to sit down and craft a farewell to your friends and family.
Listen, if I'm going, how are they going to know? I don't have time to write a letter, but I had my phone right next to me, so why not? Yeah, at 9:40 p.m., when your doorbell rings, you're going to be murdered.
I don't think there's any other explanation
for
somebody ringing your doorbell that late.
No.
They're coming for you.
Yeah, my butthole puckered. I was terrified. Of course, I didn't get it. People were like, did you answer the door? No. What? What is wrong with you?
Do you know nothing about Allie?
Yeah. It was very concerning. However, I lived. Plot twist.
Right. Yes. Great.
And I woke up to probably the greatest tweet you could receive, knowing one day that you probably will be murdered. Mm-hmm. When you wake up from a tweet from Josh Mankiewicz from Dateline.
Mm-hmm.
That says, I'll do a very sensitive story, but also wry. I thought, you know what? That means the world to me, knowing that he will be the one on Dateline to cover my murder. And I expect you, Bean, to be the one that says, she really lit up a room. But then, like, kind of roll your eyes because everyone says that.
Right. So. Now, do you have some sort of a deal in place to make sure that only the most unflattering photos aren't used, as is so often the case when somebody passes suddenly. Like, I think everybody should have a file, like, right there in a folder by the front door. These are the photos to use if I go missing or am found dead, because it seems like so often they're terrible, grainy pictures of you at your fattest. That's what they end up putting on the news.
Bean, you are, again, one step ahead of everyone. That is something I need to do.
Oh,
you
yeah.
said the other day that I need a house just for my Postmates delivery.
Right.
Couldn't be more right.
Yeah.
Now this, I mean...
Look, I mean, your life is circling the drain at this point. You got to get your affairs in order, girlfriend.
It's true. I mean, who's ringing my doorbell at 9:40?
The only thing I can think is mistaken door. They thought they were going to doorbell identity. No, I was thinking. I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
They thought they recognized the door.
Yes, wrong address. That's better, yes. So, I mean, look, that's best case scenario. It's just they didn't mean to ring your doorbell.
Right.
But they accidentally were the wrong spot. So I'm just happy to see you.
Oh, thank you. I do appreciate the callback from Kevin and Bean listeners. Did you leave a bad Grubhub review? Nice. Well done.
All right, let's take a look at this. I fell in love with this story last week, and for whatever reason, we got busy and we didn't get a chance to do it. I want to talk about my friend, Oregon truck driver Jacob Cartwright, who got lost in the woods last Tuesday. He was driving from Portland to a little town in Oregon called Nysa or Nyasa. I'm not sure. It's near the Idaho border, so it's quite a distance away from Portland where he started off. He's delivering a shipment of potato chips, so he's doing very important work.
Mm-hmm.
And he got lost. He's 22 years old, and the GPS system sent him up the wrong road and into a remote and mountainous location, according to the Oregon State Police. I guess this makes sense. You're making a delivery. You're not 100% where, you know, which way you're going. It's nighttime. You trust your GPS if you're a truck driver. I mean, this is probably how he works every day, right? So he entered the wrong address, but he had never been in that town before, so he couldn't tell whether he was going the right way or not. He continued following it, not knowing it was the wrong way. It was the middle of the night at that point, and he had missed three opportunities to turn his big rig around. When he did finally decide to stop and turn around, figuring this can't be right, I'm just going into the woods forever, the 18-wheeler began sliding toward a steep embankment and got stuck in a snowy and muddy road.
Oh, no.
We're talking about fears of you being murdered in your own apartment. How about this guy out in the middle of the freaking Oregon wilderness with no cell phone signal and so far away from any place he would ever recognize? So he did the only thing he could think to do, which was to start. He couldn't move his truck, couldn't drive, no cell phone signal. He said, I guess I'm just going to have to walk back along the road that I drove in on. So he starts walking through the forest, hoping somebody else will come along that he can flag down, or he'll encounter somebody that can help him free up a truck, or he'll find a house or something. He walked for 13 hours.
Oh, jeez.
The first day.
And
then he said he just couldn't walk anymore, so he had to sleep. He wedged himself under a log and next to the ground to try to stay warm and out of the elements. Now, fortunately, it wasn't snowy last week in that part of Oregon, so it could have been much, much worse. He got up the next day and walked another 13 hours. He's still lost in the woods. He gets up a third day and walks another 13 hours.
Is he a slow walker? How far is he walking?
Well, he had driven for quite a distance with the GPS. And now he finds himself out in the middle of nowhere, probably disoriented. He says he was walking on the same road he drove out on. But that's a great point. 36 hours of walking. I mean, how long was he on that road in the truck?
Yeah.
He did eventually find his way out of the woods, made his way to Interstate 84, where he flagged down a driver who gave him a ride to his home in La Grande, Oregon, about 9 miles away. By this time, by the way, the company that he worked for assumed that he was... Well, they knew he was missing. They feared the worst. Everybody was looking for him. They posted to their Facebook page, Jacob has finally been found alive. He was so dehydrated that his kidneys stopped functioning.
Mm.
He had possible frostbite on his right foot. And by the way, hadn't had anything to eat for 3 days, which couldn't have made it very easy for him to be on this journey.
He didn't grab any chips before he left?
Exactly.
Come on with this guy. I'm not hiring him to drive my chips.
That stuff is worth something. That's the load. I'm not going to touch it, he said in a hospital interview. That's the way I was raised. That stuff is not yours. You don't touch it. I think there's some sort of an exception to be made if you're out in the woods in the middle of nowhere. But I guess when he left the truck, he probably thought, I'll be somewhere in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I don't need to worry about food. I'm fine.
And think about how much more dehydrated he would have been.
Eating potato chips.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I mean, I look at a story like this, and I think it's one of the reasons it attracted me to talk about this and to get this out loud, because I believe I am the guy who gives up at the first whiff of danger.
Yeah.
If I'm 127 hours guy, I don't cut off my own arm. I just die there stuck in the rocks.
Yeah.
I don't think I have what it takes to survive a situation like this.
Yeah. You know, I would have probably just sat in the cabin eating all the chips. Just, that was it. Good night.
These people that an earthquake and the apartment collapses around them and they stay alive drinking their own sweat for 6 days. I'm not that guy. I'm a guy who dies in the first hour if anything goes wrong. If my gas tank gets below a quarter tank, I'm likely to not make it. There you go. So anyway, congratulations to Jacob Cartwright. That is a remarkable, remarkable story, I think. Allie, what was the deal last time you stopped by? One of the guys brought in his dog, and we're in the cone of shame, right?
He was in the cone of shame. It was Floyd, right? That was
Floyd.
The dog's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Dominic Howard's little Boston.
Well, I hope he recovered. Oh. He's okay now. And he's keep leaving his junk alone.
I would hope so. That was months ago.
We want to give away another pair of tickets in the pit with access to the Bud Light VIP party for this weekend's 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast. It's going to be Saturday at StubHub Center. It's a Yo Weenie Raps this time around. So we're looking for you to rap your way in. You can rap about the bands that you're excited about seeing. You can rap about why you need to be at the Weenie Roast. You can just rap about your experience, your delight, your excitement. But it's got to be in rap form. So if you're ready to try, you can call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. I hope we get a rap as good as this one.
Boop-dee-dee-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-de-scoop-de-poop.
I mean, that's got to be, you got to hold that up as the gold standard. It's one of the most accomplished rappers of all time, right? Dude has won 28 Grammys or something. So be better than Kanye, I guess, is what we're asking. 1-800-520-1067. Yo Weenie Raps. We'll be taking your calls next. First, Allie, what's happening?
What's happening is your first birthday party. You've been to a lot of kids' first birthday parties?
I have not, because not even the kid knows what's going on at his own birthday party at that age.
Right. The most I've ever really seen for a first birthday, you throw some cake in front of the kid on his high chair. He's got his hands in it, just all over the face. It's just a good time for the kid. Well, not if you're Conor McGregor's kid. You're going to enjoy a $40,000 bash at an exclusive golf resort in Ireland.
No.
Yeah. Conor McGregor and his partner Dee Devlin splurged on a fiesta-themed party for their one-year-old with the jazz band, outdoor bar, inflatable slide, children's entertainers, and a fabulous buffet that served lobster.
And because his kids are turning 18?
That was Conor McGregor Jr.'s first birthday.
That's all for year one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Conor McGregor out of jail, by the way? Will he be at the party?
Oh, no. The party happened. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was there. Good times, right?
Conor's making too goddamn much money.
Really, though. That's quite the party.
It is.
And just to say it's for your kid. All right. But really. Throw in some inflatable slides. And you're good, apparently. Tenacious D, you guys, apparently has a second movie coming out in October. They played on Sunday night in Atlanta, and they dropped an unexpected but glorious little nugget that apparently the movie it's on its way, arriving sometime in October.
Wow.
Yes. Is it going to be a sequel to The Pick of Destiny, which was released in 2006, along with the band's second album? We don't know, but There's also a new album on the way as well. So could that be a companion? So it's like the first, The Pick of Destiny? Could this it be?
It would be great news if it pans out.
It would be great news. I enjoy it. I enjoy all sorts of stuff Tenacious D related. And we talked about this while you were gone, how amazing it is to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as one of the athletes on the shortened version of Dancing with the Stars Athlete Edition. Mm-hmm. Because he's tall. Right. And can't dance, and it's just weird to watch.
It is weird that, I mean, he's so athletic, was, mm-hmm. on the basketball court.
Right.
But those skills do not at all translate to dancing.
No, we watched the first week, and it was just basically him with a bunch of dancers around him. He moved his legs a couple times, but from basically hip up, not a lot of movement. Well, I'm sad to report, he's gone.
Oh, no!
Yes!
They sent Kareem Abdul-Jabbar home?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Olympic luge medalist Chris Madsker, and Notre Dame basketball star Arike Ogunbowale were all in the bottom three. Two couples eliminated, Kareem and the Notre Dame women's basketball star.
Well, I mean, you saw him dance.
Yeah.
We can't be surprised. As,
no.
As lovable as he is, that's not enough to keep you on that show forever.
And I apologize for butchering her name. It's spelled A-R-I-K-E, so that could actually be Erica, right?
Could. I guess it could be.
Listen.
Her parents have a cruel sense of humor, yeah.
All I'm saying is the two very tall people on the show are now gone.
Right.
And I think that's tallest. If that is indeed a thing. Aisha Tyler, we had her in. She's busy. She basically does a ton of stuff. She finally left the show The Talk after six seasons because she had too much on her plate. Well, now she's going to be hosting a new talk show for the AMC network. You know how they do kind of the companion shows for like The Walking Dead, Better Call Saul, that type of thing?
Right.
They're going to do the same thing, but for a new show called Dietland. It's going to be the companion show for that called Unapologetic with Aisha Tyler. And okay. It's going to spotlight female empowerment, gender issues, and body image concerns. All themes raised by the scripted drama Dietland.
All right.
I mean, I'll take any Alicia or Aisha Tyler
I'm with
on my
you.
TV.
I love her so much. I was sad. Look, there were a lot of reasons I was sad to miss so much work mm-hmm. with being sick this year. But Aisha Tyler coming in was near the top of the list. I love her so much.
She's one of your favorites. She was, again, in right after Coachella. So she told us all her Coachella stories. And wow, they have fun. Is all I'm going to say about her and her friends. A good time was had by all. Some birthdays for you. Actor Stephen Amell and singer Enrique Iglesias. And that's what's happening.
Later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, New York Times bestselling author Brad Meltzer, friend of the program, going to be joining us. Are you excited, Allie?
I love him so much.
I do, too. Also, the Ace Man himself, Adam Carolla, later on. Right now, we got to take care of some business because this Saturday is the 26th Annual K-Rock Weenie Roast at StubHub Center. We are stacking them deep and selling them cheap, by the way. You can go to Access.com to buy your tickets, or there's a couple of different ways you can win them. We'll do Yo Weenie Raps in a sec, but first let's check back in with Beer Mug. He's taking the Kevin Bean Janky van all over Southern California. Mugs, you're in Orange today. How is it?
It is nice out. It's not too hot. The weather is just right for a Kevin and Bean Janky van hit. And I just found out, Bean, that we are directly across the street from the Theo Lacy jail. We are directly across the street from the jail, so that hopefully nobody escapes and takes all our Winnie Rose tickets.
Well, I don't think there's much chance of that happening, but I understand your concern.
Do you?
So people are...
I thought he was going to say so a lot of our listeners will know exactly where you're located.
That's what I thought he was headed to.
Not that there would be a breakout and they're going to steal Weenie Roast tickets.
Our listeners don't go to jail, Allie.
All right.
Oh, okay. So you haven't met the same ones we've met. So you've got Weenie Roast tickets down there. You got Liam Gallagher tickets for the Greek show, ex-ambassadors, you two at the forum, a lot of great stuff. And are you also giving away the Kevin Bean van toys, the duplicate, the little miniatures of the van?
We do. Those are a hot item. Those go so quick every time we come here. We only have a couple left. So if you want one, get down here.
All right. One more time, Bugs. You're going to be there for a few more minutes. Across from the jail, where are you at the outlets at Orange?
We're right by the TGI Fridays, and the lot is open. People are hanging out and ready to win some tickets.
All right. Thank you, Bugs. We'll see you soon, son. 1-800-520-1067. Now you can rap your way into that same show this week, and it's time for Yo Weenie Raps.
This is Weenie Raps. Yeah, that's where it's at. Come on, come on. Just don't be whack.
Yeah.
Make sure your flow is nice and tight. VIP party from Bud Light. So spit and rhyme about the Weenie Show. Do it up like you know. So come on down and battle. You could be the one, so step up to the mic, let's have some fun. Yo, Weenie Raps!
All right, I don't know what all the gunfire is about. We hope it's going to be a safe event for everybody. It can be an original rap, it can be a parody rap, it can be about any of the bands on the bill if you want to rap about, Blink or Panic or Rise Against or whatever, or it can be just how you're excited to go. So, Allie, help me out here. We got to figure out who's going to win the one pair of tickets in the pit and the Bud Light VIP passes. Let's try Chris. How about Chris up first, line one, Los Alamitos. Hey, Chris.
How you doing? Good morning, sir. How are you?
I hope you're nowhere near a jail where people might escape and steal these tickets if you win them.
Oh, I'm going to win them. I got a fat rap for you. Oh.
All right. We can't wait to hear it. What are you going to be doing for us?
I'm going to be rapping an original I just made within 5 minutes.
Can't wait. Go ahead.
Here we go. Let's raise a toast. Just won tickets to the Weenie Roast. Now I'm on my way up in Cisco. I'm excited for Panic at the Disco. Up in the parking lot, rolling up like a fool. At this pace, we'll never make it to Blink 182. Now I'm inside the venue, giving high fives, giving hugs. Heading over to the stage to see the war on drugs. Can't wait to headbang and mosh to Rise Against, but it's hard to keep my eyes off Allie in that sexy hot dog dress. I know you like my rhymes. I know you like my spits. Hang up on these callers. Give me those tickets in the pit.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about Chris mentioning your hot dog dress,
nice
too?
Fat rhymes.
Yeah, that was real good. That was real good. All right, you hang on. You are definitely in the running. Let's see if Janelle can come back at that with her call from Anaheim. Hey, Janelle.
Hi. How are you doing?
We're doing great. A lot of competition right out of the gate here. What are you going to be doing for us to compete here?
I got an original.
Oh, very impressed. All right. Anytime you're ready, take it away.
All right. Pleased to meet you, Bishop Brave. 21 and over, so no damn kids. Nothing but thieves are in this place. Brendan Urie's voice can be heard in space. Able Nation, that would be dope. Kevin and Bean, you're my only hope. Let's make peace with the war on drugs. Smoke some weed and pass out hugs, not beans. James Bay wants me to let it go, but I reached back like a pimp and I said, you know.
Very nice, yeah! Janelle.
What is happening? We are two for two.
I know. We just wanted to make fun of people that are calling, but you guys are really good. All right, Janelle, please hang on. Let's try Ryan LaHabra up next, line three. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Better for us than for you, man. You got a tough mountain to climb here after those first two callers. What are you doing, an original or parody or what?
Yeah, we're going to do an original, so let's have at it.
All right, good luck, sir.
Yo, you know I really need to go to this roast, so I'm calling into my most favorite host. Kevin and Bean, you know, they got the jokes in the morning when I wake up and bake my toast. So I spread the jelly and I spread the jam and I call in to tell you who I am. And, you know, I really got to go to the show and see my favorite band, Panic at the Disco. And I got to see Blink 182, you know, they helped me get through high school when the girls were all saying no to me. But now they're going to see because I'm going to be a VIP dancing and singing under the palm trees. And I'm going to cook those weenies, right? So to all in the competition, good luck and good night.
Oh my God!
We're gonna have to get Jensen Karp on the phone to judge this battle rap that's happening right now. Oh my God! Drop the mic, indeed. Thank you, Ryan. Let's try Jason Inglewood up next. Jason.
Good morning, party people. The competition definitely is stiff already, but I got another original for you, so let's get it going.
I can't even believe it. And by the way, not just that the rhymes are good, the delivery is phenomenal so far here today. Like every one of you. All right, we can't wait to hear what you got for us. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. I'm early morning rapping here on KROQ. You know I'm trying to win the ticket to see Blink 182. I can't be AWOL because I got to see the nation. Dirty heads are rocking. It'll be a celebration. So come on, Kevin, Allie, and Bean. Let me get all these tickets to the roast of the ween. It's time to rise again. So come on, let's go. And you know if I don't win, there'll be a panic at the disco.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Seriously.
We're going to roast at the weed. I love that.
I love that.
All right, one more, you guys, and then we got a tough decision to make. Let's go to L.A., make it Ruben. Hey, Ruben.
Hey, what's going on?
Good luck to you, my friend. Original parody, what do you got for us?
I got an original here.
Nothing but originals today. Incredible. All right. Good luck to you.
I've been listening to Kevin and Bean for 15-odd years. On the way to work, the podcast kept me in painful tears. I love the whole crew down to Even Beer Mug, and I'm begging for the chance to have some Weenie Roast fun. Blink 182, Rise Against, Panic at the Disco, take me back to the years of being a boy so emo. So let me relive the pain by saying the word no. This rap may seem crude while it was written on the go.
I especially applaud rhyming disco and emo, by the way.
Yes.
Very good, sir. Oof. Thank you. All right, hold on. We got to have a discussion in-house here. If you'd have asked me after Chris, I would have said he's going to win.
Right.
But everybody was so good.
And then Janelle.
And then Ryan.
Chase. Are you kidding me?
I think we got to make it just, we got to be as fair as possible. All just right. do the drawing, right? Okay. Yeah. I'm so sorry for the four of you that won't win because you all deserve it. You were fantastic. And thank you, Chris. Thank you, Janelle. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Ruben. But only one, you can turn that down a little bit, can win a pair of tickets in the pit and access to the Bud Light VIP party. And that winner's name is?
His name is Ryan. Congratulations.
Yay! Ryan, we'll see you Saturday, son.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for playing Yo Weenie Raps.
Yo Weenie Raps!
Coming up at 9 o'clock this morning here on the world-famous K-Rock, and throughout the day at the top of every hour till 5, we've got your tickets in the pit for the 26th Annual K-Rock Weenie Roast Saturday at StubHub Center, plus access to the Bud Light VIP party. So that's on the way in about 20 minutes. Adam Carolla joins us right after the top of the hour. Ali Brad's on the phone.
It's my favorite.
Hello, Mr. Meltzer.
I love that that ring is straight from 1984.
Is this true, Brad? You're one of the smartest people I know. Tell me if this is true. I heard this once, that some of the laugh tracks that we hear on television shows today, I mean like Big Bang Theory, big shows that are on network television today, are using laughs that were recorded back in the I Love Lucy days.
You know what? I'm okay. I don't know. I'm okay with that. Because I feel like that was a happier time for everybody. Like they laughed, they killed laugh. You couldn't get those laughs today.
People are too cynical, too reserved, too buttoned up to let go like that.
No one like guffaws anymore. The word doesn't exist anymore.
I just feel like it just kind of makes me sad. I'll be watching a show and then I'll think, man, everyone on this laugh track is probably dead by now. You know, it just kind of takes.
Well, that's the way to ruin every comedy. My thing that I do is I watch old movies and I try and find the person in the background who is just has nothing to do but makes like a funny face. Like if you watch the movie Grease, there's always like a big guy in the background who's just got his mouth open and a fist in the air, is yelling like, "Yeah, baby!" And I always think that guy right now is going, "That's me to his kids. I swear, that's me."
I want to watch TV with Brad Meltzer. That would be fun. Hey, I want to talk about your book, your new book, the graphic biography of a hero, I Am Gandhi, in stores, available online everywhere today. But real quick, I just have to say, because the last time I saw you, you were kind enough to come in to promote The Escape Artist, your latest number one bestseller. And I promise you I would read that on vacation. And I spent the most enjoyable Saturday of my whole vacation buried in that story, Brad. I want to tell you, it was cracking good, my friend.
No, listen, The Escape Artist is like my soul, and Nola and Zig, the main characters, I've never in over a decade seen a reaction to characters like I've seen to them, which makes me happy that I'm actually working on the sequel now, because I you know, everyone's been like, you better bring them back, and they're sending me like misery type letters if I don't.
Well, I know you hear all the time people say I couldn't put it down, or I skipped a meal because I wanted to see what happened next. I mean, it is a page turner, you guys. I read the whole thing in one day and it was amazing. So definitely check out The Escape Artist.
That was like 3 years of my life.
I know. I did feel bad about that. I'm sorry.
Savor it a little, Bean.
I couldn't. I was dying to know what happened next. All right,
well,
Brad.
I got to tell you, the scariest thing is that my son, who's 16 years old, for the first time ever picked up one of my books. He's never been impressed with anything I do, but he picked up The Escape Artist. And, like, you know, we could get nice reviews and, you know, Entertainment Weekly just put it on their, like, best books for spring list. You can, you know, I've gotten, you can, I don't care who reviews it. Nothing is more terrifying than a 16-year-old, my son, reading this book and looking at it. I'm just watching him, and he's like, knows I'm watching him. It's like the most terrifying review, but so far he likes it, so I'm happy.
Did he sit down with you at dinner? He's like, Dad, I've got some notes.
Well, the thing was, another writer said to me that she wrote to me privately when I put it on Twitter, and she said, I'm just telling you that after my child finished my book, I said, what do you think? And they said, well, I'm not talking to you tonight. Terrified of that. Terrified that that's going to be the case.
Well, Brad, let's talk about Gandhi for a minute, because when I saw the title, I was a little bit confused, because you already wrote and released I Am Gandhi. This is a new graphic version, right?
Yeah. So what happened was it was the election last year. Mm-hmm. And while I was watching the results come in, I was sitting with my 16-year-old, and I was watching the country rip itself apart, right? We were just – the venom at each side was thrown to the other was unprecedented to me. And I said to him, you need to read this I Am Gandhi kids book that I wrote. And I gave him – I didn't even have the art by our usual artist in the I Am series, Chris Eliopoulos. And I just gave him the script, and he's reading it and enjoying it, and I'm realizing as I'm reading over his shoulder, wait – I need this story. We all need this story today. And no one, you know, if you're an adult, you're not going to read it when it's a little kid's book version. So I called my friends at DC Comics, at Marvel Comics, and I said, can I have some of your best artists? And they gave me the artists from The Avengers, from Spider-Man, from Batman, from Superman. And we did a comic book version of I Am Gandhi. And the best part of it is no one's making any money from it. I donated my time rewriting it. Every artist donated all the art for free. All the money, all the proceeds we get, all of it goes to the charity Seeds of Peace, because we felt like if we're going to stand for something that Gandhi is going to do, then we should do it all for his cause as well. So we make no money from it, and the I Am Gandhi comic book is officially out in the universe.
That is a beautiful idea to get those talented people to work with you and in a manageable form. Like, they're all very, very busy, but they can squeeze in some time to do a page each, right?
Right. So what I did, you know, and the thing that people don't realize about the comic book community is it's not just nerdy fun, but they really believe in the missions of what they draw. So they love a good battle of good versus evil. And so when I went to them, I was like, you know, listen, I don't know if you can do, like, I'd love you to do three pages. The guy who did the John Lewis graphic novel, March, I was like, I want you to do the five-page March scene. And, you know, the guy who's doing X-Men, I was like, can you do this scene? And they all were like, I love what this stands for. I want to help fight for peace. I'm in. And it was just incredible to watch them redo the pages, you know, edit them, rework them, and just give us incredible. In fact, I put on Twitter just now a piece of art from every page. You can see all the iterations. And all we're seeing is it's one of the most retweeted things we've ever put up there, because people are like, I've never seen Gandhi in a way that I now want to read them, and I now want to share them with not just, you know, older kids, but, you know, for myself.
I fear, Brad, this is the voice of our friend Brad Meltzer, the number one New York Times bestselling author, his new graphic novel, I Am Gandhi, available everywhere today. I fear that there are a lot of people who have no idea in 2018 who Gandhi was. It's too ancient a history. He obviously, the repercussions of his work still continue through today with a lot of people, but what's your one paragraph explanation about Gandhi that you tell the people who are new to him?
Yeah, no, listen, I'll give you the – I always tell it with a story is, I think, the best way to do it. And I can tell you Gandhi stands for peace, but here's what he stands for. Is Gandhi is fighting his big arch nemesis, so to speak, is a guy named General Smuts. And the general hates Gandhi. Is the guy – it's the general that rounds Gandhi up, keeps putting him in jail for all his protesting. They hate each other. He hates Gandhi. Gandhi, you know, should hate him. And what Gandhi does is he gives the general a homemade pair of sandals. And the general is like, why are you giving me these? And Gandhi says to him, better to make friends than to make enemies. And again, think about that in the context of the world today. Better to make friends than to make enemies. And that's, to me, who Gandhi is someone who stands at a time of anger, says, don't show anger, show love. And inspires that. Those lessons inspire Dr. King, inspire Nelson Mandela, inspire the peaceful movements you see today. And this is where it comes from. And I love that we get to share this lesson. And, you know, again, with the artists, you know, I have the artist from Spider-Man, from The Avengers doing it. And it to me, I think you're right. I think if we don't put it in a format like that, people just forget. And so you got to keep these stories alive by telling those stories again and again.
Available wherever books are sold, I Am Gandhi, a graphic biography of a hero. It's appropriate for all ages. Little kids will love it, right up to the older people that love this kind of artwork and these kind of stories. Brad, it's always a pleasure, man. I hope you'll bring us another cake next time you stop by.
How good was that? How good was that, right?
That was super, okay.
That day.
That was super fun. And by the way, thank you for the hookup on the Jake Tapper interview, too. We had him in last week, and he was delightful.
Actually, Jake.
No, he was nice. He even said behind your back that he said he loved being there. He loved seeing you guys.
And Jake actually booked you for today. So we're all set.
Yeah, no, he said that. He said that, and I was like, that does not get you off the hook for that. There's no way.
All right, Brad. We love you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, send love. Love you, too.
Then what happened?
Whoops, sorry. My fault. My fault. I'll take that one back. Sorry. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Got to give you tickets to go see that band in the pit. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, talking about the K-Rock Weenie Roast this Saturday at StubHub. Stick around for that. Then Mr. Carolla will be here, the Ace Man himself. First, what's happening?
Listen, after you have a great time at Weenie Roast on Saturday, mm-hmm. How about some pizza? How about tickets to Pizza Fest LA at the Hollywood Palladium?
That's a thing.
Why are those kids so not sure they want to cheer?
Yay!
There they are. Yeah, it's a thing. It is a serious thing. It is this Sunday from 2 to 8:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Palladium. It's showcasing over 20 food vendors between pizzerias, restaurants, pizza trucks, along with photo booths. You've got a ton of stuff, cooking workshops, cooking demos, a DJ, panel discussions, all things pizza happening under one roof.
May I ask you a pizza question?
You may.
I know that the people are very deeply divided mm-hmm. over pineapple on pizza.
Right.
And I just wondered, which camp are you in?
It is not for me.
Unacceptable? Are people who have pineapple on their pizzas, are they monsters or just not to your preference?
It's not to my preference. But
it doesn't
bother
you, though.
But I can understand you calling them a monster.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm fine with it.
Of course you are.
I got no problem with it.
Monster.
They're two great tastes that taste great together as far as I'm concerned. I guarantee there'll be some pineapple on at least some of those pizzas at the pizza thing.
Well said. I believe so. I will say this. First of all, let's get callers 20 through 24 at 1-800-520-1067. And those five winners are going to get a pair of tickets to Pizza Fest LA, the Hollywood Palladium, this Sunday. I will say this. I didn't think you were going with the pineapple debate. I thought you were going with the Chicago style versus New York style. And to me, who's debating that? Except for people in Chicago who are wrong because you're essentially eating a big old foot souffle. Who wants that? It's like a big old quiche pizza. Come on.
For a lot of people in certain segments of the country, there is a certain kind of pizza that they grew up with, and that's what pizza tastes like to them.
Well, then you leave Chicago and you have New York style pizza that you fold in half. Sometimes it's crispy and you hear that snap mm-hmm. and the grease rolls down your chin.
Hold on. I got a breaking news here. Hang on.
What's happening in your butt?
Okay. What's happening? I'm telling you, my machine's going out of control right now. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Is that the one you wanted to play originally?
Nope. Okay. This is it.
Now, a report from NBC's Emmy Award-winning journalist, Doug Kriegel.
What do you think of that pizza?
It's a really awesome pizza.
That's good.
That was a report from NBC's Emmy Award-winning journalist, Doug Kriegel.
That's what we were going for right there.
Oh, incredible.
I miss Doug.
Oh, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Hey, you want a little breaking news?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Pizza related?
It is not pizza related, but just as excellent.
And now, breaking news, Boone.
Thank you, sir. This is a very, very big deal. And now,
a breaking news, Boone.
The Hollywood Reporter reveals that following 1989's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and 1991's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, a much-discussed third Bill and Ted installment, Bill and Ted Face the Music, is indeed firmly in the works some 27 years later.
Yay!
Yes. And Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter obviously back as those time-traveling metalheads, Bill and Ted. Mm. It is currently in pre-production, and Bill and Ted Face the Music is going to see the duo long past their days as time-traveling teens, now weighed down by middle age and the responsibilities of family. Oh, Bill and Ted got old.
Your level of interest in the Bill and Ted movie?
All.
Okay.
Absolutely. Come on. Bill and Ted.
A lot of people love Bill and Ted. I get that.
Bean, are you not a Bill and Tedder?
I don't know that I saw them.
And you talk about me not seeing The Godfather. This is right on par.
That's big news for a lot of people. And I'm sure a lot of people thought Keanu would never go back and do it again.
Yes, they're back. Him and Alex Winter. That is good news. Very, very good news. And if you saw Grimes trending yesterday on Twitter, you might have thought, oh, new music, excellent. Nope. She went to the Met Gala with one Elon Musk. What?
Okay.
SpaceX and Tesla founder Elon Musk. Apparently, they had a real meet cute on these here Twitter webs. He was trying to make a joke and then realized, oh, wait, this woman Grimes made nearly the identical joke years before. I should reach out. We should talk about the complications of artificial intelligence. Apparently, they started chatting about a month ago and they went public with their relationship last night at the Met Gala.
I guess if you're someone as rich and famous as Elon Musk, mm-hmm. if you crush on somebody on Twitter, just reach out.
Right.
And they're writing back.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, first of all, she's a very talented young lady.
Yeah, sure.
But smart as a whip, as the day is long. She was double major in psychology and philosophy, minors in Russian and electroacoustics before she dropped out of school to follow her music career. So I'm sure he thought he was making this super obscure joke no one was going to get. And then he's like, wait a minute. She already made this joke years ago. I need some of that.
Well, that's because she's, as I heard a lady say on the radio, mm-hmm. smart as a whip as the day is long.
Yeah. I combined two things right there just to prove how smart she is. It is true. You like a good boxing film?
Yes.
All right. Last month we heard about Ray Liotta. He's going to be in a film called Cut Man. That's about the guys in the corners during a boxing match who make sure the fighter is taken care of. And now we find out about Bruce Willis playing legendary boxing trainer. And help me out with this. I don't quite know his name, but it's Constantine D'Amato.
That sounds right.
All right.
This is Tyson's trainer when
yeah,
he was a kid, right?
Essentially took Tyson under his wing, trained him to fight, turning him into a world champion. So it's going to be the story of him.
There is something inherently beautiful about boxing when it's filmed right. And and I think that's one of the reasons why they've made so many. I mean, of all the great sports movies, there's as many boxing movies as anything. People love to see it.
Do you have a favorite boxing movie?
Well, it's hard to be Rocky, but Raging Bull obviously comes to mind as one of the greats. But there have been a lot of them.
You like The Fighter?
Yeah, I like The Fighter.
You like The Fighter?
I like The Fighter. Yeah.
It's a real good movie. Mark Wahlberg. All right, some birthdays for you. Singer Enrique Iglesias and actor Stephen Amell, and that's what's happening.
Mark Wizar from Whittier. Congratulations, Mark. Thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are going to be with us on Saturday for the 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast at StubHub Center. Got tickets for you every hour all day long today up until 5 p.m. They're in the pit, and you get access to the Bud Light VIP Party 2. Do we have Mr. Carolla?
Not yet.
I don't believe so.
Okay. How you doing, Ellie?
I'm doing great. And I mentioned before, I love a cool weenie roast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do another check of Carson Weather, you guys.
All right.
Hold on.
You had upper 60s pegged earlier in the day. You were very excited about that.
Oh, Saturday, we are still set. 67 degrees is the high, 58 as the low. Good Lord. Oh, that pleases me.
I know you do turn into a ball of fire if you're out and it gets too hot.
Yeah.
So it actually, for somebody like you with your skin, it does make a difference when it's reasonable.
I am very pale. I will do it up, though, for you guys at Weenie Roast, just as to not shine the whiteness of my legs in your face. I will apply a little bit of salt tanner just for you, because my God, it's a lot.
And this time of year, it could be 100, too, you know,
really
so
could.
We got lucky.
Yeah.
Hey, looking ahead while we get the Ace Man on the phone, we hope to tomorrow's program. Kathy Griffin is going to be here on Thursday. Will Wheaton is going to be on the show. Dr. Drew is going to be on the show. You know who else we have Thursday?
Who?
We have Junus Sotobamo. You don't know the name, but he is Chewbacca, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
He is the new Chewbacca.
What do you think the audition? Well, I guess we'll ask him. What's the audition process to become Chewbacca? Is it as simple as any dude in a Wookiee suit? Or do you think there's a particular skill involved in being Chewbacca?
Come on. Not everyone can be Chewbacca, or anyone would.
All right. Well, that's Thursday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I believe we have located Mr. Carolla. It is a thrill to have him back on the show. Adam, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. And Bean, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Everyone I knew when I got into theater who came from the New Orleans area saw a ghost. I'm from North Hollywood. I've never seen a ghost.
Right.
I've seen a couple dead people, but I just stumbled upon them at parks. Right. I've never actually seen a ghost. You haven't only been in New Orleans for a couple of years, but have you seen a ghost yet?
Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you about that, because I do live in a house that is 150 years old, and it does make noises, and it does make you think about that. But no, I have never seen a ghost. However, I will say that I have more than one friend who says he has and swears by it and is one of those people who you cannot talk them out of. You can't come up with any kind of alternate solution. You can't convince them that, no, it was a shadow or it was a breeze or it was an earthquake. You can't tell them anything, but it's a ghost. People there really believe in it, Adam. Your friends were not lying.
But so how do you reconcile the fact that 97% of people who grew up in New Orleans saw a ghost and zero people who grew up in Van Nuys, Sherman Oaks, and Valley Village have ever seen a ghost?
Well, I will...
They don't travel?
I will tell you, Allie, and back me up on this, when we have done this topic, and by the way, get into Allie's head sometime on this ghost topic here, Adam.
No one wants to be there.
When we have done this phone topic before, we've had no shortage of people in Southern California who swear that there's no explanation other than a ghost. Am I right?
Absolutely. Shockingly, all the callers are women, but... I will say this. Yeah. We're just more open to it. We're more open to the fact that there are just other beings out there, Adam.
I'm not open to it, but again, I'm from the Valley Village area. I have seen this, though. I've seen much scarier things than ghosts in North Hollywood. I've seen a guy in a wheelchair pushing himself backwards with his own feet through an intersection, which is weird because you're in a wheelchair. You should be using your legs, and it'd be nice if you're going the other direction.
Right. That does seem questionable.
All right. Well, so sadder, you tell me what's sadder. Guy in wheelchair propelling himself with his feet backwards to an intersection, or 2 days later, fat guy on bicycle built for two alone. A very sad tableau.
I love it. Do you still visit the old neighborhood even though you're rich, Adam Carolla?
I do. I do it like the chick who was molested in Forrest Gump. I show up at my old apartment and I yell at the front doors and I throw rocks at it. And just basically... That's what I do. It's not nostalgic. And then I do a lot of that thing where, you know, I don't know. It's weird how we're all wired. We have to go by places that aren't there anymore and then stop and go, man, the Pioneer Chicken used to be there. And now it's not. And then we have to marvel at that for a while, like it means something, like that doesn't go on all day, every day, everywhere, all the time.
How good was Pioneer Chicken, though?
It was the best, but now it's gone.
Oh, but let's take a minute and just really savor that.
Adam, I've got something I want to ask you, and then we'll talk a little bit about your appearance this weekend. Folks can come out on Saturday to meet Adam at the Total Wine and More in Pasadena. We'll hear more about that in a second. But I want to ask, because you just made a beautiful transition for me when you brought up Forrest Gump. In a couple of minutes on the show, Allie is going to review a film for us that she saw for the first time this weekend. It's called The Godfather, Adam, and you're probably unfamiliar with
it. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So
My son is named Santino. My son is named Sonny. So.
Yes. Okay. Oh. So you've heard of him. All right. So she, her entire life has been told, no, but you got to see The Godfather. And for whatever reason, she just never got around to it.
Very busy.
She's very busy. So she resisted. So this weekend, she had the time and she saw The Godfather. And she's going to review it for us in a couple of minutes. We'll find out what she thought of what many consider to be the greatest or close to the greatest film of all time. So I guess the question I have for you, Adam, and I'm serious about this, and I know we're not going to have enough time to get into this properly, but maybe it's something we can do another time, is what's a responsibility for a person to go back and catch up on 100 years of movies? Like, is it necessary if you are 20 today to watch Pulp Fiction because it came out before you were born? Do you have a responsibility as a citizen to go back and watch it? Or are you allowed to ignore a certain amount of what came before you?
You do not if you're a coal miner or you work in the crabbing industry. But if you're going to talk into a microphone next to someone who's make 1,500 references a show to these bits from all these favorite movies, like I used to have to sit next to Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew never saw any movies. He never saw The Shining. So you couldn't make a joke about The Shining. And if you think about it, there's probably 15 or 20 references that you'd want to make about The Shining, especially 15 years ago. They all flew right over his head because he didn't watch it. So you have a responsibility if you're going to sit behind a microphone to watch these movies, not to enjoy them and not to even have a discussion on the merits of them, but to understand the references that everyone else is using, like I inadvertently just used Forrest Gump. If you'd never seen Forrest Gump, you didn't know that scene.
No idea, right.
That would have fallen on deaf ears.
All right, but what about somebody who's not in entertainment? Just Joe Citizen listening
to
the radio, right?
I want to say this quickly. That does not include literature. In no way, shape, or form am I suggesting any of your listeners read.
Yeah, because reading is for losers.
Without
it. All right. What about something that's not, hugely full? You're not in broadcasting. You don't need to know the references. But I mean, do I not have a well-rounded education if I never saw Braveheart, for instance, just as another example? I mean, do I have to go back and catch everything? Do young people today need to see The Wizard of Oz and It's a Wonderful Life and Citizen Kane? Or do we not care anymore about those old movies?
Well, I'll tell you, if you're married to or anywhere close to Dennis Miller, you better familiarize yourself with a thousand of those movies. If not, then it just breaks down to the individual group. But understand, eventually, the people who are talking about these fantastic works of art and referencing them and dropping lines from them, when they fall on deaf ears, eventually that person will stop going out to lunch with you, and then you will self-segregate into a dumb group of small people who sit around and just talk about the Dodgers and have nothing to say about movies, and eventually you'll end up in wheelchairs pushing yourself backwards across intersections.
See, I knew Adam was going to be able to give me the big picture that I was missing. All right, let's talk about Saturday. What's happening out there in Pasadena this time around, Eastman?
I'm going to be out there at the Total Wines and More, and I'm going to be doing a signing at noon, and I got my Mangria and I got my Endless Rant beer over there. And also, breaking news, Friday night, Borderline, Thousand Oaks, that's going to be Lynette, my wife, who named Santino because she loved The Godfather so much, Allie. And they're doing a little takeover over there with comedy and music and everything else. So that's Borderline in Thousand Oaks Friday night. And then I'll be Total Wine on Saturday.
I went to Borderline once. It was a country bar back then. Is it still?
It is.
Sweet.
It is. And also, it's a weird thing because if you hang around long enough, you'll find your heroes playing places you've played. I've played Borderline 3 or 4 times. And a month ago, I went there to see one of my favorite artists, John Hyatt, and all I could do is sit in the audience and go, man, what happened to this loser?
All right, AdamCarolla.com for all the live appearances. So you got that for this weekend to see Lynette at Borderline on Friday night and then the Ace Man himself at Total Wine and More in Pasadena. I'm so happy for you that the Mangria is still going strong. I remember when that was a brand new idea, Adam, and here we are years later. People can't live without it. AdamCarolla.com for all the details, live appearances, podcast, and more. Love you, Ace Man. Talk to you soon.
Love you.
And now, a moment with Bean.
The only thing I can think is
mistaken door. They
mistaken
thought they were
doorbell
to...
identity.
No, I was thinking. I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
That was A Moment with Bean.
When we were doing Kevin and Bean Annoy You the other day, somebody wrote in and was very upset that there have been so few moments with lately. And that's because I wasn't on the show. Now that I'm back, we're going to start ramping them up again. Taking care of those moments wits for you, right?
Right.
Right. All right. Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 9:42. Time for our final look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
We've been talking all about the different residencies in Las Vegas. It seems like every single band that you love or did love has a residency or had one. Britney Spears, Celine Dion, Garth Brooks, J-Lo, Boyz II Men, Blink 182 now, Gwen Stefani now, and just announced yesterday, Queen and Adam Lambert.
Fergie.
Nope. Queen and Adam Lambert.
No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley.
Again, Queen and Adam Lambert.
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins.
I would.
Any questions?
I would watch that. Right?
By the way, Queen with Adam Lambert is a great idea, and I bet a great show.
Absolutely. We were talking earlier, if you're going to have any one singing with Queen, it has to be a complete powerhouse. So there's nobody but Adam Lambert. He's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Good fit.
Yeah. Everyone that has seen their shows together that they did said it was one of the most phenomenal experiences. So now tickets go on sale Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern at Ticketmaster. If you're wondering where it's going to be, it's on the Las Vegas Strip. The shows will take place at Park Theater at the MGM in Las Vegas starting on September 1st and then running on select dates through September 22nd.
You know who I heard is going to be getting a residency later in the year?
Who?
This kid who called the show yesterday.
I want to see some naked dudes. It's why I built this pool.
I mean, seriously, if the yodeling kid can play Stagecoach.
Thank you.
They could give our listener some stage time in Las Vegas, right?
Agreed. Agreed. I feel like his parents should go see Blink-182 in Vegas. Bring the kid. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Oh, good stuff.
I want to see some naked dudes. It's why I built this pool.
Damn, our listeners are talented.
Oh, so good. That's a 30-year-old, by the way. That's a little bit of a issue. You guys, we found out yesterday, not shocking, that the TV show Transparent will be ending its run after its upcoming fifth season. So that show will be done after next season on Amazon. And The Hollywood Reporter has been updating their renewals and cancellations. This is the time of the year where shows are on the bubble. You're wondering if your favorite show is going to be back. I have been refreshing the heck out of Hollywood Reporter's Twitter for one show and one show only. Because I know that Barry's coming back. We already know that. Barry on right. HBO that I love. But another show that I think is just fantastic, starring Christina Hendricks, Retta, and Mae Whitman. It is Good Girls, and it has been renewed for a second season on NBC. It is so funny, but will make you cry. Retta has made me cry a couple times on that show.
Yeah, she's got range.
She really does. Oh, really good show. It's been averaging 6.1 million viewers overall. So that's back. Barry's back. I just need to know about Killing Eve. So if anyone from The Hollywood Reporter is listening, I would like to know that.
I was sad to see Broad City is not coming back, and I wondered if that was a cancellation or if that was just both of those ladies are just too busy to keep doing it. You know?
I'm almost positive that they both signed kind of like a big parachute deal with Comedy Central. So they're going to be doing more work with the network.
And Difficult People, too, got canceled. That bummed me out.
I'm really sorry about that, Bean.
Yeah.
Can I interest you in a show about the Me Too movement?
No.
Yeah. A new anthology TV series in the works by Ryan Murphy, who's great at everything, but do we... Come on. No. No. No.
I mean, it's weird to do a story like that right in the middle of that still unfolding
a
little bit.
I agree.
It's
He's super talented, though.
Yeah. Maybe we'll take a step back, though, for a bit.
Maybe.
Would that be nice? And if you're a fan of Supergirl, Melissa Benoist, mm-hmm. she's going to make her Broadway debut this summer. She's going to step into the lead role in Beautiful, the Carol King musical, from June 7th through August 4th. And we were not aware that she is quite the singer. She was on Glee for a couple seasons, and people have been sending me videos of her singing that are just phenomenal. It's kind of BS, right?
And by the way, this isn't one of those Broadway roles where you're in the background or singing on a couple of songs. I mean, that's the lead role where you sing them all.
Yeah.
So that's heavy lifting.
The Carol King musical. That's pretty serious. So congratulations to Melissa Benoist for that. Some birthdays for you. Stephen Amell and singer Enrique Iglesias. And that's what's happening.
Hey, Allie. Thanks for that. The SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. What about another all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow? No? Well, too bad, because we're planning on coming back. I got more tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast in the pit for you. We'll have a chance for you to win them on the phone. Also, Beer Mug is going to be out in a new SoCal location in the Kevin and Bean Janky van. Kathy Griffin is making her triumphant return. You know, there was a time a few months ago after that photo shoot where it looked like her career might be over. Remember, her tour
right.
just fell apart. Nobody would book her for anything. She lost her CNN New Year's Eve gig. She apparently is on the comeback trail. Do you see? She recently sold out Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
She was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, seemed to be greeted warmly on Saturday night, and it'll be her first visit to Kevin and Bean in a while, too. So that's going to be tomorrow. I'm very much looking
forward to have so many questions.
I do, too.
Lisa Bloom, give me the dirt. Andy from Bravo, give me the dirt. I feel like she's going to share. She's going to share some stuff.
All of that, and we didn't realize, and I apologize, we missed the first week of celebrations, but apparently May is Masturbation Month. So we don't have anything scheduled on that yet for tomorrow's show, but I'm going to work on it real hard later today.
Ew.
So we'll see you then.